Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture taken from Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 32. This particular reading of Scripture deals with Christ and His church. The Apostle Paul is going to use the union of marriage to show the union of Christ and the church. Husbands and wives join themselves together in marriage, so Christ and the church are joined together. Just as marriage is to be an inseparable, indissolvable union, so Christ and His church are to be inseparable. Husbands and wives, when they come together in marriage, make a vow to live together, to love one another, to be devoted unto one another until death. Death is that which separates the marriage union. Death dissolves the union of husband and wife. Christ and His church are inseparable. If we follow Christ, we must desire to be a part of the church. If we would be saved, we must be in the church just as we must be in Christ. This reading of the Apostle Paul shows the inseparable union of Christ and His church. Ephesians 5, 22 through 32. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture the union, the inseparable union, of Christ and the church. We must understand what the church means to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must understand this great mystery of Christ and the church. We must see the church as God sees the church. We must be a part of the church so that we can also be a part of Christ. The Scripture says that Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body, verse 22. The church is referred to as the body of Christ, with Jesus as the head of the church. Jesus is the authority of the church. The church is ruled and governed by the Lord Jesus Christ. His word is the divine authority for the church. All that the church is, all that the church is to do, in every aspect, the church is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is to be named as Jesus would have it to be named. The church is to be governed as God would have her to be governed. Jesus Christ is the head of the church and also the Savior of the body. Jesus has saved the church. The church is subject unto Christ. Verse 24. We are to be obedient to Christ as the church. The church is to follow the divine plan that God has delivered through the Lord Jesus Christ. This plan is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. The Bible is the most important book upon the earth. The Bible is the book that every individual must read, must come to know, and must obey, so that they can be eternally saved from sin and live with God in the world to come in heaven. The church is to be subject unto the authority of Christ. We do not follow our own will. We do not go our own way. We do not do what pleases us, but rather we seek to please God through Christ. We are to be subject unto the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ loved humanity and gave himself for humanity. Do you see the connection between the offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross for sinful humanity and the offering of Jesus Christ upon the cross for the church? Do you see the inseparable union of Christ and the church? Jesus gave himself for the church so that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Jesus Christ has sanctified and cleansed the church with the washing of water by the Word. We are to be baptized for the remission of our sins. We are to be baptized so that we can wash away our sins. Acts 22:16. In this divine way, Jesus Christ has sanctified and cleansed the church. The Word is the authority of the church. The church has been sanctified by the Word. Jesus prayed in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth." The Word of Christ is the truth of Christ, and by that truth his church is sanctified as we are washed with water. Jesus Christ sanctified and cleansed the church so that he might present the church unto himself as a glorious church. The church is a glorified body. What a privilege, what an honor it is to be a member of the church, to be a part of the church, to have fellowship in Christ through the church. Jesus Christ and the church are inseparable. This church is glorious because, verse 27, it has neither spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but rather that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus Christ has created a body, loved a body, sacrificed himself for the body, sanctified the body, washed the body, so that the body, the church of Jesus Christ, would be holy and without blemish. Jesus Christ has nourished the church because he cherishes the church. Through Jesus, we have spiritual nourishment as the church. Jesus guards his church against the errors and the false doctrines of men. Jesus Christ nourishes the church through the word that he has delivered and through the sacrifice that he has made, because he cherishes the church. The church is loved by Christ, and the church is important to Christ. We must not minimize the value and the importance of the church in our society. The church is not a building with a physical address, but rather the church are those souls that have been redeemed by Christ, purified by the blood of Christ through the offering of Christ upon the cross, and is his cherished, nourished body. Jesus Christ and the church are inseparable. Jesus Christ reigns over the church. He is the head of the church. The church is his body. Jesus reigns by divine right. Jesus reigns over the church because he has been appointed to reign by the Father of heaven. In Luke chapter 1, at verses 31 through 33, the birth of Jesus Christ is announced by the angel Gabriel to a young virgin girl by the name of Mary. Luke chapter 1 is a most interesting reading because it concerns the announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ into the world and the reason for that birth. The angel reveals unto Mary the position of authority that Christ would come to hold. Verses 31 through 33, Luke 1, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus Christ would be appointed king of a kingdom. He would sit upon a throne. He would not sit upon the physical throne of David, but rather he would sit upon a spiritual throne. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. This is the only way that it can be indestructible. All things physical age and ultimately are destroyed. But this kingdom of which Jesus would be king, this throne upon which Jesus would sit, would be without end. He would reign forever. This is the message that the angel gave to Mary. She would bring forth a son. She would name the son Jesus. The son would be great. The son would be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God would give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus would reign by God's appointment. God does all things according to his divine counsel and his eternal purpose. The purpose of God would be for Jesus Christ to establish the church. The church would be the eternal kingdom of which Jesus would be king. In Acts the second chapter at verses 29 through 36, the Apostle Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. This great multitude of people have come together. The Holy Spirit has descended upon the apostles so that they are endowed with the ability to speak in the tongues of those who were assembled upon that day. They would hear the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At verse 29 through verse 36, Peter would say, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Apostle Peter says that since David has not yet ascended into the heavens, the house of Israel is to know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus Lord and Christ. Jesus had been raised from the dead. Jesus had ascended into the heavens. Therefore, Jesus was seated by the right hand of God. 1 Peter 3:22, speaking of Jesus, declares, Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Jesus had been made king. Jesus had ascended and had been set on the throne of David. Jesus had been appointed king of this eternal kingdom over which he reigns this day. The Apostle Peter said that Christ would be raised to sit on his throne, on David's throne, verse 30. When would that occur? At what point in time would Christ be seated upon the throne? Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and when Jesus Christ ascended into the heavens, God sat him upon the throne of David and gave unto him a kingdom which would have no end. Jesus Christ is head of the church because of divine right. God has made him the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. The church is the body of Christ. The head controls the body. The body is subject to the thoughts and the directions of the head. This is true in our physical body, but it is most true in the body of Christ, the church. Let us remember from the Ephesian letter that the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the body. This is an important truth that we need to recognize and understand. We need to see what place the church occupies in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be right and biblical in our understanding of the church. At Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, the Apostle Paul said, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? What is the exceeding greatness of the power of God? To usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God has demonstrated the exceeding greatness of his power to us. We have seen the mighty working of the power of God. That power was wrought in Christ. God's power worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. At which point He set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus Christ has a name and an authority that is far above all principality, might, power, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. This passage of Scripture shows the exceeding authority that Jesus Christ has. Jesus is the head, the government, the dictating authority over all things that is named, not only in this world where we presently live, but also in that world which is to come. And God has put all things under His feet and made Him head, the authority over all things, to the church. The church is His body. This is the working of God, and the working of God cannot be undermined. The working of God cannot be diminished. What God desires must be the will of man. We must follow God and desire to do what God wants us to do and be what God wants us to be. The church is the body of Christ, and it is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. God's eternal plan of human redemption has been fulfilled in the inseparable union of Christ and the church. Colossians 1:18, He, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. The preeminence of Christ is exhibited as head over the church, as the authority of the church. We see Christ as the authority of the church, and therefore we see the preeminence of Jesus Christ, because He is the firstborn from the dead. Ephesians 5:23-24, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Humanity is subject unto Christ in His church. We must be in that body so that Christ can be our head, our authority. Christ purchased the church with His blood. Jesus Christ shed His blood for the redemption of humanity. But Jesus Christ purchased the church with His blood. Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Paul had explained to the Ephesian elders how Christ had given Himself for the church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. He says to the elders there, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed, to guide, to nourish, to lead, to influence the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Jesus Christ has purchased the church. Never has a price been paid for the purchase of any item. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Immaculate Christ, the one without sin, who had no blemish upon His character, died upon the cross, and the blood that He shed upon that cross in His death purchased the church. This shows the inseparable union of Christ and the church. Jesus Christ owns the church because He has purchased the church. This was the will of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. See the significance of this verse. Paul writes to the church. The church are those that are sanctified in Christ. The church are those who are known as saints. The church is those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ. The church knows Jesus as Lord. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, "For ye, the church of God at Corinth, are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We glorify Christ in His church. Ephesians 1, 7 and 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." Redemption is the price paid for ownership. Jesus Christ has redeemed us with His blood. Therefore, we are His purchased possession. According to verse 14, "Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Do you see that Christ is praised in His church? Christ is glorified in His church. He is the head of the church. He is the owner of the church. There is an inseparable union between Christ and the church. The church is the household of the redeemed. Those who have been redeemed from sin have become the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, 19 through 22, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Paul is writing to those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. They are no more strangers and foreigners with God, but rather now they are fellow citizens with the saints. They are of the household of God, and the household of God is the church of God. 1 Timothy 3:15. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." The habitation of God, the dwelling place of God, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are redeemed from sin have become the church. Those who have been saved from sin through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ have become the church. Acts 2, verse 47, we find that after Peter had preached this marvelous sermon at Pentecost, some 3,000 souls received that word by repenting of their sins and being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as God had directed in Matthew 28, 18 and 19. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Who is added to the church? The saved. Who are the church? The saved. What is the church? The saved. The Lord put the saved in the church. In all of this that we have discussed concerning the church, we see the marvelous working of God. This was God's design. This was God's purpose. The church is the design of God. It is the eternal plan of human redemption for humanity. When Jesus was upon the earth, He promised to build His church, to establish His church, to bring His church into existence. Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock, upon Peter's confession, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus would die upon the cross. He would suffer that humiliating death of Calvary. But that would not prevent the promise that Jesus made to build My church. The church belongs to Christ. Jesus has given Himself for the church. There is an inseparable union between Christ and the church. I urge you, I implore you, that you examine the divine teachings in Holy Scripture concerning Christ and His church. The church is a marvelous, glorious body of redeemed saints who have been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ through His death on Calvary's cross. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.